The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or considered, but we're so damn good. It's the story of your life. You're moving down the page, and you know you're on your way. The story of your life. You live it every day. You can run, you run, but you won't get away.
Bonjour, hi Canada, Hugh Hewitt inside the RelateFactor.com studio. So glad to have you with me on the first day of the Perry Mason impeachment. We all know how it's going to end. Every one of us. He will be acquitted. Second acquittal for Donald Trump. I'm not that interested in it. I'm doing the reading. I've cited you the key parts of the former president's brief on Twitter. I'm reading Brian Kalt's article again. Going back for some footnotes that I missed, apparently he talked about, some people talked about having an impeachment for Nixon. One of my arguments is the plain reading of the Constitution doesn't say former presidents. And some of the early state constitutions did allow for the impeachment of former presidents or former officials. And therefore, it wasn't included. I'm assuming that the framers were intimately familiar with all of the state constitutions in 1787, if they chose not to include impeachment of former officials, they meant not to include impeachment of former officials when other states had impeachment of former officials. And then this vast lack, I think the Kalt article is the only article. It's a 1991 article in, I think, the Michigan State Law Journal, maybe the Texas Journal of Law and Politics. And then Brian tells me that there are some footnotes on articles calling for the post-resignation impeachment of Richard Nixon, with which I've never, ever been familiar, so I'm looking for them. I've got his article up in front of me, but I can't find them, so I'll get to them later. But it's simply not persuasive. And you have to work yourself into a complete pretzel to get there. You have to be a law professor to get there. Although, look, Ed Markey, you got to remember, Ed Markey, Serious Con Law here. I'm with MSNBC's Katie Turr yesterday, cut number five.
We don't have an historic constitutional option not to have this trial. The president incited a riot. The president was tweeting even as the rioters were inside of the Capitol. We don't have a choice. Otherwise, future presidents, future office holders will feel as though they can act with impunity. So we have to do it. But at the same time, we have the other urgent crises which are facing our country, and we have to move forward on them as well, beginning with the COVID relief package. And it is being constructed as we are speaking right now. The ideas are on the table. They are being compiled in a way in which we can move forward legislatively to deal with the economic and healthcare problems, crises, which we're living with right now. We don't have a choice. We have to do it all. It's our constitutional responsibility. It's 1933 right now from an economic perspective. It's 1918 from a healthcare perspective. It's 1868 from the perspective of a president inciting insurrection against our country. We do not have an opportunity to look away from any of these issues. We have to deal with them all, and we have to deal with them all as part of our constitutional responsibility as senators.
Now, did you notice he didn't cite anything in the Constitution? Did you notice that? Just blah, 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 blah. I've got a left wing I've got to worry about. And boy, it's 1933. No, it's not 1933. The unemployment isn't remotely like 1933. The country's bounce back is far advanced, not as far as we want. It's not 1918 with regards to health. The 1918 pandemic was just much more terrible. Thank God it's not 1918. This is bad enough as it is. That's just classic rhetoric, rhetorical excess. And, you know, the amount of hysteria on the left is not a good indication of what the Constitution says. Now, Professor Kalk comes to the conclusion that you can. I go with Judge Luttig. I go with Alan Dershowitz. I go with the plain meeting. As when Justice Breyer was in the studio and we had an argument about how one reads the Constitution, I reminded him of the farmer at the Massachusetts Ratification Convention who stood up and said, we have no lawyers in my town. We do not need them. I have read them this for myself, and it makes sense to me. And that's what I do. I read the Constitution and any on-point Supreme Court precedent. I don't listen to Ed Markey. I've never listened to Ed Markey. No one should listen to Ed Markey. But honestly, there just isn't an argument for going forward this other than vengeance. And being bored, I mean, vengeance is mine, says the board. They want, you know, people want this. The Trump derangement syndrome people want this. Some Republicans want this. Pat Toomey, who's not running for re-election, is out there wanting this. Cut number six.
I think it's very unlikely, right? I mean, you did have 45 Republican senators vote to suggest that they didn't think it was appropriate to conduct a trial. So you can infer how likely it is that those folks will vote to convict. I disagreed with their assessment. I think it is constitutional. I think it's clearly constitutional to conduct a Senate trial with respect to an impeachment. In this case, the impeachment occurred prior to the president's leaving office. But, you know, my job is going to be to listen to both sides of this, evaluate the arguments, and make a decision.
As you know, sir, there's...
Wait a minute. If you think it's clearly constitutional, the largest argument in President Trump's brief, pages 13 to 38, is why it's not constitutional. So you're not much of a juror, Senator Toomey. And I like Senator Toomey. He's been a great senator. You know, go read it. No one even read the briefs. The brief was filed yesterday. Maybe he had read the... I can't say that. Maybe he had read the brief. But that's not generally how we do it. John Cornyn on the Senate floor yesterday, cut number four.
President Trump's words and actions leading up to the attack were reckless and wrong. But as we all know, the constitutional standard for impeachment isn't recklessness. Treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors, those are the offenses that the Constitution allows Congress to impeach and remove a president from office for violating or from committing. Which brings us to one of the biggest concerns I have. Donald Trump is no longer president of the United States. He's a private citizen. Our Democratic colleagues moved so fast that they could impeach the president while he was in office, but failed to transmit the articles to the Senate until he became a private citizen. Legal experts have debated not only the constitutionality of trying a former president, but also the wisdom of doing so, and I share concerns on both those fronts. I think this ill-timed impeachment trial sets a dangerous precedent for future former presidents. As politicized as impeachment has become, it could become a reoccurring political exercise that would be toxic for our democracy.
If this is the best argument, it's the only argument, text of the Constitution practice at the time. At the time of the Constitution's adoption, there were state constitutions that provided explicitly for the impeachment of former officials. I think there were some had time limits, 18 months or something like that. But the framers didn't go with that, and they were careful. And they spent all summer, in the summer of 1787, talking about the executive. And high crimes and misdemeanors got a lot of attention. The impeachment provision got a lot of attention. No one thought thought of this. Burr was not impeached after his treason and after he shot and killed Alexander Hamilton. He was still vice president, you know, when he killed Hamilton. He wasn't impeached. He wasn't impeached after he left. He wasn't impeached. He was tried for treason, not convicted, acquitted of treason, but he wasn't impeached. We didn't impeach Nixon. We didn't impeach Clinton after he left office and the allegations arose in addition to those that we knew about, but we also had a Republican Congress. This is just an incentive. It's the first breaking of the glass, and it's truly horrifically bad for the country. But I don't expect Democrats to stop. We know it's going to go. I do expect Republicans to stand tall on behalf of the Constitution. President Trump's conduct was reckless, like Senator Cornyn said, in office. I wrote it on that day in tweets. But this is an unconstitutional proceeding, and pay it no mind. I'll be right back with real news after this. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Let there be no doubt, big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. So why exactly are we choosing to give these big tech companies all of our personal data? Now is the time to take a stand. Protect your personal data from big tech with the VPN I trust for my online protection, ExpressVPN. Every single device you use generates an IP address. Now you can hide that from everyone when you use ExpressVPN. The best part is you don't need to be tech savvy at all to use ExpressVPN. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you are protected. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies whose aim is to censor you and spy on you. Defend your rights. Protect your internet activity with the VPN I use every day. Visit expressvpn.com/Hewitt. That's expressvpn.com/Hewitt to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/Hewitt right now to learn more. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. There is a WHO mission in China. It's going into the lab where the virus, which has decimated the world, originated, or some believe it originated. I'm not buying the wet market thing. And the Financial Times headline is, Wuhan mission unlikely to settle charge debate on virus origins. What a surprise, you might say. You see, they're not actually cooperating. They are kind of allowing them in on a very strict timetable, not giving them full access. They're doing basically what the Iranians did and the Iraqis did when confronted with international organizations trying to verify the lack of weapons of mass destruction. And so the idea that this is somehow, this is just classic Chinese Communist Party attempt to pretend that they're cooperative, and they're not cooperative. Here's the biggest issue. I had a discussion last night with some very smart friends about, you know, we're not going out for a Valentine's Day dinner. We will eat outside occasionally if the restaurant has great spacing, et cetera, but we're not going out on Valentine's Day. It's like going out for a Super Bowl. I don't want to get this. I see Rod Dreher posted that his wife has it. Say a prayer for Rod's wife. It's not a pleasant disease. It can kill you. A lot of people get it and don't have a very bad time of it. I know everyone on the spectrum, from dead to I didn't even know I had it, and people in between. And I would prefer not to get it. I'm waiting for my vaccine. Here's the problem. Israel is ahead of us on this. They are the longest ahead. They are the ones who are, they've got the most people vaccinated as a percentage. They've got Benjamin Netanyahu has done a great job getting Israel vaccinated, but it's slowing down. They've got more vaccines than they do demand. With Israel's world-leading vaccination drive slowing because of a collapse in demand, writes the Times of Israel, the health ministry and some private firms are looking at ways to incentivize Israelis to go get their shots. The health ministry is reportedly weighing a plan to send out medical staff to offices of major companies around the country to vaccinate employees. All right, my question to you, 1-800-520-1234. I think we need to incentivize this early. I've already made this position known to people running this thing. I think we ought to give folks a tax credit. We ought to just say, hey, $100 if you get the vaccine off your taxes. Tax credits are really very, very powerful incentives. Doug Ducey has used them, and the state of Arizona has used them, with the Arizona allows you to donate part of your taxes. If you owe $1,000, you can give, I guess, $200 to any not-for-profit that qualifies as a tax credit. And people use it, and not-for-profits benefit. Tax credits work. So if we want to incentivize people to get the vaccine, and I do, because so-called herd immunity occurs only when you get up above 70% of a population having it, and the closer you get to 100%, the better. We need to go and get people to get the vaccine. And right now, people can't even conceive of that because they can't get the vaccine. They want the vaccine. But in Israel, which is a couple of months ahead of us, better organized because they're not organized. They did, they called it organized chaos. They went in and grabbed the pizza guy to get a vaccine. They got everyone in that they could. They did whatever they want to get people to take the vaccine. And so I think that people need to really think right now when they're doing the legislation for the reconciliation about including pay people to get the vaccine. If you want people to get the vaccine, pay them to get the vaccine. This is just a pretty simple idea. Some people are not motivated by concerns of health. Younger people are not deterred because there is no apparent risk that is significant for them. But if you want people to get it during months ahead, pay them. 1-800-520-1234. Connection to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
There was a time a long, long time ago, Chevys and Levis played on the radio. No cell phones, just 20,000 lights swaying on a Saturday night. All right. Can you imagine that?
Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I'm going to Robert right away in Grand Junction, Colorado, because I had lunch yesterday with a guy who's a legend in Orange County. I'm not going to tell you who it was. Legend. Grew up in Grand Junction, Robert. And yeah, so, you know, whenever you see that kind of coincidence, it catches your eyes. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mr. Hewitt. How are you, sir?
He said there were about five people in Grand Junction when he was there. He's a retired lawyer now, a little bit older than me. So it wasn't very big back then.
Well, it's tripled in size since he's left. Yeah. 65,000 right now.
Yeah, I'll tell him that. I'll pass that along. So what's on your mind?
Yeah, sir, I just want to say I can't wait to get the vaccination. And I didn't agree with the sheltering. I didn't agree with the shutting down. And I want to get back to normal where people can go and congregate and get back on buses without fearing some sort of disease in the air. So I'm all for vaccination. I wish I could fly over to Israel myself and get a vaccination.
That's what I thought. They ought to open the airport and people can just do touch and goes and get a shot if Israel's got too much. But they don't have too much. They just can't get people to come in. Because, again, they didn't break it down in the article by demographics, who's not coming in, but their demand has dropped off dramatically. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's it's just, I've never been for all this anti-vaccination stuff. I always vaccinated my kids. I knew the risk. And the risks are quite low compared to what could actually happen if we didn't vaccinate.
Yeah, I mean, this was the argument I had last night with my friends who wanted to go out for dinner on Valentine's Day with our wonderful wives. And I said, let me explain this vaccine thing to you. 6 feet apart is fine. You can be outside and 6 feet apart, and that's just not what they're offering where you want to go indoors and have a meal. And I'm close to being done with this thing. You know, I'll get my vaccine in a little bit, and then we'll go back to normal.
Right. Well, I went to a restaurant last week and had the 6 feet apart business and everything else. And I was able to sit down without a mask and enjoy a great meal.
This is common sense. And this is a show for conservative common sense. And common sense says wear a mask. Common sense says stay 6 feet apart. Eat outside if you go out. Common sense says don't live like a Herman. Common sense says don't have a trial for a former president. Common sense in the Constitution. That's what you get here. Robert, thank you, my friend. I got to do a market report brought to people by our wonderful sponsor, Birch Gold. If you're going to buy gold, you should have bought it yesterday because yesterday it was lower. It's at 1843, up 0.5% this morning. But it might go down, might go up. You don't buy gold to trade. This isn't GameStop. Gold does not exist as AMC. Gold is not a put or a call option. Gold is something that, as a portion of your portfolio, I say 10%. Some people say as high as 25%, but I'm a 10%er. Take part of your retirement, put it into physical gold and silver. Now, silver is going nutty right now, so I'm not recommending silver right now because speculators are back trying to corner the silver market again. And I don't, yeah, it's like Bitcoin. If something is going on and it's crazy, that's not for people who aren't specialists. I see all these kids who are afraid of missing out. Afraid of missing out is the dumbest reason to invest in something. And gold, you're not going to miss out on gold. Gold's going to go in the vault and stay there. And it may be exactly what saves you from hyperinflation, or it may just increase a little bit and it may go down a little bit. It is security blanket. Gold is a physical metals are a part of a overall financial portfolio, and Birch Gold makes it available for you. They'll tell you how to roll over a portion of your IRA if you just go to HughGold.com, HughGold.com, or if you text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Well, yesterday the Dow went up 237 points. The NASDAQ went up 131. Incredible. S&P went up 28. Overseas this morning, it's mixed. Japan and Hong Kong both went up. They're closed. England and Germany both are down a little bit. 10-year treasuries at 1.16. Oil is at $57 a barrel, which is about where it was yesterday. And it's sort of a ordinary day, except for silver. Ordinary day, but gold up 0.5%. So take advantage of the opportunity below 2,000. Get in and get some gold, put it away, forget about it. Hopefully your grandchildren will put it away and forget about it. Hopefully their grandchildren will put it away and forget about it. It's an anchor. That's what it is, and that's why you go to HughGold.com, HughGold.com. Now, this debate about COVID that I had last night, I really thought we were long past this. Minimizing how sick you can get, because there are a lot of people who die with COVID with a comorbidity. And the bad thinking is, well, I don't have a comorbidity, so I can't get sick. First of all, are you sure you don't have a comorbidity? Are you sure that you don't have a comorbidity? Are you obese? Do you have high blood pressure? Do you have asthma? Do you have something you don't know? Moreover, COVID itself can produce the comorbidity from which you die. Okay, so if you get pneumonia and you've got COVID, the pneumonia may have come from the COVID, but you'll be classified as a COVID death with a comorbidity. And that will still be a COVID death, in my view. There are only 6%, according to some claims, of people who die without a comorbidity. That should not give you a rest. It should not give you a pause. And I'm reading the Reuters article that goes through the CDC data. Conditions contributing to death where COVID-19 was listed on the death certificate includes both serious complications from COVID-19, such as respiratory failure, pneumonia, adult respiratory distress syndrome, as well as pre-existing conditions. So a comorbidity is not the same as a pre-existing condition. You can get a comorbidity from COVID. That's why I think a lot of people are mistaken and they think the risk is low. But even if the risk was low, even if it was 20%, only 20% of people who die of COVID have no pre-existing condition, would you still take that shot? Really? This is not the flu. It's much worse than the flu, and people need to go and get the shot when it becomes available. We also have to worry about, and I don't want to be the person who is, last year I was warning, I was screaming from the rooftop a year ago that this was going to be a nightmare. I was doing it in January a year ago, and so I have no desire to say I told you so. But I also mentioned a year ago, you don't worry about the first virus. You worry about the second, the third, and the mutations, the iterations, again, based on the 1918 experience. When it went through 12 iterations in the summer in the United States of 1918, it came out deadlier. Now, thus far, people overreacted to the South African news that the AstraZeneca vaccine offered only minimal protection against mild to moderate cases of COVID-19. And they misread that. They thought that meant it offered no protection against COVID-19. It does offer a lot of protection against fatal COVID-19. All right, so people, science is not easy. Science is hard. But variants have begun to show up other places. There's an entire globe where variants can emerge. The B.1.1.7 Kent variant in the United Kingdom. The 501.V2 variant in South Africa. The one causing the most concern, nicknamed Eric or Eek, is E484K, and it is found in Brazil. That's got people a little bit more worried than the other two. There will be more variants. So the key question is, how quickly can vaccines be adopted to new variants? The threat is real. Moderna said last month it's beginning trials of a booster tailored to target the 501V2 strain, after it discovered that its vaccine elicited antibody levels 6 times lower for that variant. So they're on it. There's money to be made here. Science is at work. People are on it. But the best thing you can do is to get it as soon as you can. I'll just repeat that. The best thing you can do is to get it as soon as you can. Other news. Benjamin Netanyahu's trial, That trial's been postponed longer than Trump's, and he's still in office. Benjamin Netanyahu's trial is going to be put off until after the election in March. The evidentiary stage, when he's going to have to go to court 3 times a week, not going to happen until after the March 23rd election. So we're going to miss that drama. Iran has launched a new rocket showing advances in potential missile technology. And the story I am going to talk about with Admiral Stavridis next hour, hacker changed chemical level in Florida's city's water system. A water treatment plant in Oldsmar, Florida was hacked, and the intruder briefly increased the amount of lye used to treat water to a dangerous level. A plant operator noticed the alteration Friday and immediately reversed it, avoiding adverse effects on the city's water supply. Now that is attempted murder of many, many, many people. So water systems, like other public utility systems, are part of the nation's critical infrastructure and are vulnerable to terrorists. Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Galtieri said at a news conference on Monday about the incident. The hacking began on Friday morning at the plant in Oldsmar, a city of about 15,000 people near Tampa Bay. Around 8 a.m., a plant operator noticed that someone remotely accessed a computer system he was monitoring that controls chemicals used to treat water. The intruder got into the utility's control system through TeamViewer, a tool that allows engineers to monitor and repair computers and network machines. Now, how do you feel about that? You know, I don't like to give anyone ideas, but how do you, that is troubling. That is really troubling. I'll be right back when we'll talk about that with Admiral Stavridis. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt, good morning to you. I'm joined by David Drucker of the Washington Examiner. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm great, Hugh. Good morning.
Look, before I go to the recall, which I know you're covering, there was an article in Time magazine by Molly Ball this week that suggested that prior to the election, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the AFL-CIO published a statement on Election Day about how they would work to make sure that the election was not stolen. The chamber's gone pretty hard left, but I never knew that they've done a deal with the AFL-CIO. What's going on at the chamber? And am I the only person to notice that all the Republicans got fired, that Donahue quit, and that the new nice person on top of it is actually probably a liberal?
So this is a story that's been going on for 2 years in Washington. So maybe you're the only nerd in Washington to miss this. So I say affectionately, but those of us who cover inside politics in Washington have been watching changes at the chamber. And this is part of sort of the impact of the Trump administration and the Trump era, because corporations that have been longtime donors and members of the chamber, and, you know, even if they wouldn't parade around, were very supportive of Republican fiscal policy because it's been good for their bottom line and very good for the economy. So they were pleased to support all of the Republican Senate candidates that have run over the past decade. And they were perfectly happy to help elect a Republican Senate and keep the Senate Republican from 2014 through just this year. We're not comfortable with the president's behavior, and they were just very unhappy with this idea that they were supporting Trump versus supporting Mitch McConnell. And so the chamber, because of that, started to sort of diversify its political support, encouraging bipartisan legislation on the Hill, embracing some, though not all, of the Democrats' agenda on some issues. And the staff started to change as well. And so what you're seeing is something that Republicans have noticed. They weren't happy about it, and they feel like it in some ways made a difference in midterm elections in 2018, for sure, because they didn't have the same allies they used to have to counter the Democratic Party and their allies in these down ballot races.
Well, the chamber is supposed to be Main Street, not big corporations. So I'm curious whether or not they're losing members, or are people just quitting?
Right, but the United States Chamber of Commerce was never Main Street. The United States Chamber of Commerce has always been this sort of industry group of big business in Washington. And they were losing members because of the public relations issues they were having with Trump, and the fact that there was a lot of pressure on these corporations from a sort of outward-facing brand perspective of being too closely associated with the 45th president. But I think we should understand that this was the industry group of blue chip American corporations, and they would support the chamber, and the chamber would support Republican Senate candidates and Republican House candidates because their policies tended to be more favorable to corporate America. But the chamber and its members also believed that that was good for their employees. Obviously, people will debate that, but one thing we've noticed over the past 4 or 5 years, as everything, nobody seems to escape scrutiny, and corporations ultimately are afraid of losing customers, and so we've seen them adjust their political posture based on that.
Well, I think I'll come back to this, because I think the chamber is supposed to represent American business, not just blue chip business, but we'll come back to that. Tell me what you know about the recall in California.
Well, what I've discovered this week, and of course I'm now approaching this from Washington, whereas 18 years ago I was in Sacramento to cover the last one. But they expect to turn in the signatures they need the first week of March. I'm told that they have an 85% validity rate, and that in the past month or two they've started to see an increase in petitions from independent voters, which are now referred to in California, I guess, as NPP, nonpartisan, something or other. And some Democrats. And so they're going to have the petitions they need. There are more steps in order to trigger an actual election than existed with the last one, but those steps are likely to happen. And so you could have an election in the fall, in the late fall of this year. But it looks like I don't see a scenario, I guess, in which somehow the election is derailed. And so then the question is, who runs? And particularly, do any heavyweights on the left run?
And what have you heard? Because I've also understand the Democrats are maneuvering to push it back to March of next year, because they want more Democrats to vote because of Gavin Newsom's in big trouble. And we've got two Republicans in. Any Democrats at all, David? 10 seconds.
Not yet, but stay tuned.
Stay tuned. If one Democrat gets in, it's for real. That's my view. If one Democrat gets in, it's a for real deal. Stay tuned, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Thank you, David Drucker.